Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Rockets Warriors game 2 is tomorrow. Texter points out, I can't stand how many days there are between games in the NBA playoffs. I'm right there with you because it definitely doesn't help the Houston Rockets out. Steph Curry's 37, Jimmy Butler's 35, and Draymond Green's also 35. But the white in his beard makes him look a little bit older. They got a lot of rest because they won their play-in game, and now they get a little more rest between the first couple of games of this series. If this thing goes longer than 4 or 5 games, okay, then maybe all of a sudden stamina becomes a factor in this series. But to this point, obviously not going to be one when you're getting more days off than you get during the regular season in between games.
And then 4, 5, 6, 7, that'll all be every other day.
Yeah.
Really for all every playoff series or every playoffs. It's like the first round, there's always just more days off because there's more series.
Right.
And you can't put 4 on a weeknight for some reason?
It would be hard, Sean, to watch all of them. I think that's their line of thinking if they put 4 games on TV. Well, baseball does that, and I mean, if you can't really watch all of baseball's playoffs until the very end.
Yes, but at the same time, I don't think America needs to watch Memphis OKC. I think most of America is fine.
That's being, the NBA TV treatment.
Yeah, just like sim to finish on
that
one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nuggets Clippers has been fun thus far.
It's definitely been the series so far of the playoffs. They're 2 games.
JB Bickerstaff, Rockets legend, evened it up with the Knicks last night. Thank God the Rockets didn't trade for Mikal Bridges. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Jalen Green, wish they had Cade Cunningham instead. Sure, but at least you didn't trade him for Mikal Bridges and all those picks. What was it, 5, 6 the Knicks trade for him?
Yeah, 5 picks.
God, I love watching the Knicks fail. Jalen Brunson is such a flopper, too. And King of New York!
He got such a free pass after last season because...
New York!
And in the first round, they played the 76ers, and everyone's the focus was on Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time being like, dude, Brunson is just as bad of a flopper as Joel Embiid, where it's like, it's not even, okay, this is going to sound very Houston Rockets thundersticks right here. James Harden, when he would foul bait, it was at least like in the act of basketball. Brunson just kind of like runs and then stops, and then when you hit him, he falls over.
So he's a disciple of Trae Young.
Yeah, it's more of a...
It's a little more disingenuous. Harden started the game, and some of the disciples since then have taken his teachings in a different direction.
Harden was just trying to get shooting fouls, more or less. He was only just trying to get to the foul line. Jalen Brunson is just trying to foul guys out. Like, he is just trying to draw a foul at any given moment. It's crazy.
Ugh. It is a shame that basketball has gone this way. That's why we're going to shift back into football for just a moment. The Texans are taking an offensive lineman with their first pick. I don't think that should come as a surprise to anybody, but I think the Texans have a couple of guys targeted and that they are going to do whatever they can to get them. Some tea leaves to put together. First, remember a couple of weeks ago, Cal McNair was asked about the shakeup on the offensive line. The McNairs, to a degree, are hands-off. But go back to the 2023 draft, where it felt like Will Anderson was the guy that they really wanted, and that Bryce Young, they believed, wasn't going to fall to them, so they were probably just going to take Anderson second overall. I am of the belief that there was some pressure from ownership to give the Texans something to be exciting with, to get fans a little deep steel blue pill in their coffee. The quarterback makes you start to believe that things can happen where a defensive lineman does not. So the Texans, guess what? After they kept Nick Caserio around, they trade up, they get a quarterback, and they get Will Anderson. I felt like there was a little ownership pressure for that move to happen. So now where you have a season where the Texans disappoint relative to the outsized expectations we had for them going into the year because they brought in Stephon Diggs, and they had Tank Dell, and they had Nico Collins, and they had C.J. Stroud going into his second year, and Bobby Sloak, this great offensive coordinator, which is really funny when we think about it. All of that stuff leads to absolutely nothing. I mean, that was a defense-first team last year. Their defense was clearly their strength. The McNairs were aware of it, and they know that the offensive line, which just had a ton of turnover, is the reason for a lot of those struggles. So, you don't think that they're telling Nick Caserio, who says, I don't draft for need. You don't think they're telling Nick Caserio, hey, offensive lineman. Because you got to get the fan base a little more deep steel blue pill in their coffee. You know, you got to rise, R-I-I-Z-E, them up. So I think there's going to be pressure from ownership for the Texans to take a look at an offensive lineman and then put some of these tea leaves together. We heard Daniel Jeremiah with Ryan Russillo and with Todd McShay on Ryan Russillo's podcast talking about a couple of offensive linemen that the Texans are looking at. And per Jeremiah on Mina Kimes' podcast, there is one name in particular that they are not going to let get past them.
But what if they added Emeka Ubuka?
CJ Stroud might have something to say about that. I don't know. CJ would like, I would like to be a little better protected than I was last year, but I wouldn't mind throwing to my friend in Emeka Ubuka.
I think you need for them.
Yeah, I think I would have to take Banks. I have a little higher grade on Ubuka. It's close, but I don't see how they leave that round without an offensive lineman. So I'm going to go offensive lineman. I was told the Houston Texans will not pass on Banks if he was there. So that's what they would do.
Boom. That's the pick. Calvin Banks. A tackle. Which does make you wonder just how they feel about the tackle position. But also, remember Nick Caserio.
Don't put that evil on him.
I know, I'm sorry.
I know people, you know, have mixed feelings. But come on.
Nick Caserio is so much better than Nico Harrison, but
on different planets.
Completely different planets.
Even when people didn't like Nick Caserio.
Right. I mean, really, trading Laremy Tunsil is not like trading Luka Doncic. People are out on Laremy Tunsil here, even though he's a good player. So Caserio is probably thinking to himself, all right, there's a couple of offensive linemen that I really like, and Caserio we have seen be aggressive when it comes to trading up and trading back in the draft. Per Adam Schefter, it is expected that the Texans and the Eagles will be aggressive. So will the Texans trade up to get Calvin Banks? Will the Texans trade up to get another offensive lineman? I'm not sure, but it does really feel like if the Texans do anything in the first round, it's an offensive lineman, and specifically, it's Calvin Banks. It's just based off of everything we're reading, everything we're hearing. This is not to say that Banks is good or bad. It's just to say that seems to be who they are most excited about.
And it's a situation where if the Texans love Banks this much, are we sure he's going to, A, make it to 25, which that feels a little tough. Not impossible, right, but just slightly unrealistic.
Back of the first round, sitting and waiting for an offensive lineman. Good luck.
Yes. Or will the Texans be forced to move up for him? And if so, how far? Because if the Texans love him, chances are there's another team that is also at least interested. Maybe tackle isn't as pressing of a need for that team. Whatever. But it now becomes a how far up the draft board do you have to, / are you willing to go get this guy? This is why, like, falling in love with a prospect's like kind of dangerous sometimes, because it can lead you into some mistakes.
100%. I'm so there with you. And I'm really curious as to what they're going to do. But I really do feel like Kelvin Banks out of Texas is the guy that they're going to be getting. There's other names that they've been linked to. Who was the other one, Sean, that we played the clip of a couple of weeks ago?
Alabama guard.
Tyler Booker. Right. Those are the two names that I think that they're sniffing around the most. And I bet it does come down to, hey, as the draft unfolds, which of those guys is still hanging around closer to where they pick?
Yeah.
And they will probably trade up to try and get that guy. And they will be aggressive in trying to trade that for that guy. They got extra picks from the Laramie Tunsil trade. So they might trade a little more than you normally should to move up to go get him. But if you like a guy enough, go get him. But as you said earlier, be careful with who you like.
It just compounds the risk that you're taking, because you're not using one pick on a guy. Right. You're not using just the 25th pick on a guy. You're using the 25th to trade up, and then you're also probably throwing in, what, a future fourth, future third, let's say, if you're trying to get into, like, the teens to draft this guy. So you are throwing more chips in on a player, and you just have to make sure that you're right, and it's something that Nick Caserio, just, you know, that's the one thing. I'm not the one calling him Nico here. That's Paul. But the one thing that the doubters are probably right on so far is his ability to draft offensive linemen. He just has not been able to.
100% true. Ryan Lost in Texas points out on Twitch, the Texans should draft a football player in the first round. I agree with that. But guess what? They might not, you know?
What?
Say those guys are both gone, they might trade back.
I thought they were going to draft not a football player. I thought that's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. They go crazy. They draft some
Cooper Flagg. What?
Where they draft some random Australian or Samoan
just some
who's
guy
playing in a different sports league.
Some guy in the crowd at the draft,
Nathan Tope, who asked earlier about Harden being on the team. People are out on Tunsil for the same reason everyone was out on James Harden. That's a fair comparison. It does feel like at times Tunsil's me, but also about what's going on off the field as much as what's going on on the field. Harden, obviously, noted partier. I don't think that Tunsil's necessarily a noted partier, but I don't know. Maybe I'm implying a little bit too much based off of the awesome Hawaiian shirts that he wore that I wanted to have all of. But Laramie Tunsil, I mean, the man dresses well. I think it's a fair assumption to say the man enjoys himself on the town.
Yeah, probably has a good time. Yeah. I'm not hitting him with any, you know, big accusations. Just, yeah, probably likes to have a good time. But I think it's fair because it's two guys that are very successful, very good at their position, very good at the time that they got traded. But there's some yeah buts that come with it. There's some shortcomings that you wish weren't there.
It's one of those things where he was great, but you wanted him to be more than just a great player.
They're A minuses and you're looking for an A plus.
Exactly. Maybe a B plus because you looked at him and you were like, hey, you were here during the O'Brien years, which was a time where certain players had exceptions made for them. And those exceptions are leading to an offensive line group that maybe could care a little bit more, that could maybe be a little less tone deaf to the criticism surrounding them. And I don't know. I think Tunsil was a part of that. He did seem rather annoyed by pushback against his play early on in the year. And it's like, well, dude, like people don't watch offensive line play. They notice false starts. The casuals are going to notice the false starts and all the penalties, and that'll piss them off more than all the good reps that you have against the pass rusher, which are expected. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You want to get in, 713-780-3776 to call to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Twitch is wondering about Laramie Tunsil's gas mask from back in the day. Some interesting thoughts. What about the gas mask, says Virginia Buttonweed. I don't think that's a reason the Texans moved on from him. Said Ryan Lost in Texas in response to this. Being a stoner isn't necessarily being a partier. You can be both, though. Yeah, when I think of someone who puffs the magic dragon, I'm thinking of people who are perhaps sinking into their couch and watching TV, Ancient Aliens, deep YouTube rabbit holes, as opposed to thinking some guy's about to go out and do a keg stand or something like that. Virginia Buttonweed says, though, a stoner that uses a gas mask seems like a partier. I don't know. That seems like a with 3 to 4, perhaps 5 to 6 other dudes in a room hanging out with one another. Is that a party or is that a hangout? I feel like it's more of a hangout than a party. Ryan Lost in Texas continued by saying, most of the guys I knew who are into the whole weed gas mask or other novelty smoking accessories just like to sit around and play video games like Tetris for hours on end. Well, per sources at Syracuse University, I've heard about some people who, when Netflix had just started the ability to stream, they would all get into one room that had the best access to the heater, and they would sit around in a circle and watch the television show Weeds, you know, while they were smoking. But they were not using contraptions such as that. Perhaps the old water bong as opposed to a gas mask. A gas mask would be fun, though, I've heard.
It seemed like Laramie was having a good time.
Laramie was definitely having a good time that day. And truly, like, no matter how you feel about Laramie Tunsil, he got so screwed over by that BS. So the fact that he was able to negotiate two huge contract extensions for himself, I consider that karmic justice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was such BS. And, I mean, we've never heard – listen, you might be frustrated with Laramie Tunsil on the field, frustrated with how he seemed rather aloof when people would call him out for the false starts and all that stuff. But – he never did anything wrong, you know? It seemed like he was a pretty good guy. So to have that happen to you on draft night where, one, you're getting embarrassed in front of the whole world. You don't want this out there.
And it's like a calculated attack on you.
Someone
to make
close
you,
to you.
Yeah, to make you drop in the draft. Because he was going to be like a top 5 pick.
Yes,
if
easily.
Not, if not top 3 pick. Like he was going – and. He dropped all the way, I think, to 11 or 12 to the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, obviously it's worked out since then. But yeah, that crazy, crazy situation to have had.
A lot of people are weighing in on this conversation on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston. Naturally, whenever we go down a rabbit hole like this, it gets a little fun. People are asking, how much did Laramie Tunsil smoke on 420? Isn't it kind of hokey? Isn't it kind of lame to do it on 420? 420, I got weed.
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit, going out on New Year's. It's a little bit like that, where it's like, this is one's for the common folk.
Well, I feel it's more like Valentine's Day. It's, oh, we need this day to celebrate a relationship that you're in, specifically. Oh, we need this day. I don't know why it came to be like that, but also I feel like this past 420, given that it took place on Easter, was a little more difficult to navigate for some. Obviously, much like at Thanksgiving, me and our cousins are going out for a walk, Mom. We'll be back in like an hour.
Well, thanks, Morty.
We'll be back in like an hour.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. My eyes are so glazed. It's because it's so dry outside, you know? And then you come back to your family, and you got one person in your family who knows exactly what happened, and they're asking you very pointed questions that are making your skin crawl and making you look very reflective upon yourself. Of course, I'm not speaking from experience. Mm. Not at all.
Never. Never would.
Never would. It's illegal. Come on, kids. Don't do it. Don't do what Laramie Tunsil did just because he's an offensive lineman. You know? You can't do that. So, the Astros, they won last night, 7-0. Zach DiCenzo's got to play today. And he's got to play for Christian Walker today. Because Cam Smith, he's doing really well. Last couple of games. What are we talking about now with Cam Smith, who's also making pretty good plays in the field? We're talking about a four-game hitting streak for Cam Smith. He's now hitting .237. And then you got Zach DiCenzo stepping in for Christian Walker, who got an off day to reset and refocus. I mean, he goes 2-for-3 with two doubles. And on top of that, he's an amazing base slider. I can't believe he was safe on both of those. I would have challenged both of those if I were the Blue Jays. And both times, somehow, some way, Zach DiCenzo, with elaborate handwork, was able to make it safely. Elaborate handwork, last name DiCenzo. He's got to be Italian. He's got to be Italian. I mean, that was deft hand maneuvering on both of those slides, in particular, the one at home. I seriously have no idea how the Blue Jays missed that tag. They had him dead to rights. Honestly, I feel like he shouldn't have run. But he made it both times. It was really impressive. So he has two hits, and I get you pay Christian Walker a lot of money, but I also feel like the Astros should be a little more aggressive this year when it comes to replacing guys in the lineup who are not doing what they're supposed to do. And I don't care what you pay Christian Walker. Paying somebody a certain amount of money, you learned this with Jose Abreu last year, should not make you beholden to continuing to play that guy over and over and over. So I hope, and we'll see what happens when the lineup is released. They generally do it at about 3 o'clock for 7 o'clock games. I hope that Zach DiCenzo gets another turn at first base tonight. Also nice to see Yiner Diaz do anything at the plate. He got a hit. Snapped a little slump. Yordan Alvarez smacked the ball to right field. The offense got going. It's just annoying it took as long for them to get going as it did. Todd Callis pointed out in the broadcast last night that Kevin Gausman usually does pretty well against the Astros, but then he'll have one inning where they just eat him up. And for the eating, the feasting to be done by the bottom of the Astros order in the fifth inning was surprising. Bottom of the Astros orders, kind of carrying them. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the two guys that are struggling the most on this team. It's Walker and Diaz,
yeah.
Two guys that hit in the middle. Not far behind them is Yordan, at least disappointing in contrast to, like, expectations.
It's 211, right.
Yeah. And so, well, it's not going to be who going into the season was your 3, 4, and 5 hitters. So it's if they're ever going to win games, it's going to be because of the bottom of the order. And yeah, Jake Myers has been better than you could imagine.
But then you move him up to the 5 spot and he goes 0-for-4 with 3 Ks.
That's just what happens.
What the hell?
I mean, and no one thinks that Jake Myers is going to keep hitting like
correct.
This. So it's a little bit of, I see why moving him up, just, hey, while you have lightning in a bottle and while these other guys can't hit, might as well. But yeah, you're always at risk of an offer from Jake Myers. And you have Cam Smith stepping up. As of the last, what, since this weekend, basically, he's been relatively on fire.
4-game hitting streak. From the 832, downtown Hunter Brown was amazing. Yeah, we talked about that in the opening segment. Honestly, I should be bringing that up every single segment. Yeah. Hunter Brown, diesel, womp, womp. Is that a diesel engine noise?
That's a 18-wheeler noise, I think.
But they probably have a diesel engine. I don't know much about trucks.
I think they do.
All I know about trucks
could
is
be wrong.
There's two truck drivers who constantly illegally parallel park on my street in a no parking zone.
Oof.
And they do it in a spot where it's tough to see cars, oncoming traffic. Would you drive out of the gate to my condo complex? Yeah, I have a condo. So guess what I do? I call 311 and narc on these bitches.
There we go.
It's legal parking. I know you're sleeping there. One of them has started removing his license plate so that it's more difficult for me to report him.
Wow.
I know. God.
It's tough being a...
It's tough being a homeowner.
Karen. Oh.
I'm not being a Karen. F those guys. This is a sleepy little community. We got like a bunch of... It's not a truck stop where you could have like... where weird stuff goes on in showers.
This isn't a truck stop.
No, it's not a truck stop. Get out of here. Sean Mace behind the glass and Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 975-925. 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We're closer and closer to the NFL draft. Some draft chatter about picks 2 and 3. And one of the league's best players had his car stolen while another player for some reason, felt the need to share that the man shoots for this type of lady. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Yes, it's time for football. The NFL draft. 2 hours. Check that. 2 days and several hours away. The Giants and Browns are fielding trade calls about the number 3 and number 2 overall picks. Cleveland's number 2. Giants are at 3. People expected the Browns to take, with the second overall pick, Travis Hunter. But I guess perhaps they're getting cold feet. Or maybe they're thinking that there's going to be a team super desperate to move all the way up and draft a quarterback or something else in that spot. I think as far as the Browns are concerned, they're going to stay put. The Giants are an interesting one, though. So there's, I guess, some division in the Giants camp about whether or not New York should draft one. One, Shedeur Sanders. But now, apparently, Brian Daboll likes Jackson Dart among all the quarterbacks available. And this is the dilemma for the Giants. If you're the Giants, do you let Joe Shane, their GM, who, of course, let Saquon Barkley go, and Brian Daboll, who did win Coach of the Year and did have some good moments considering Daniel effing Jones was his quarterback, but it hasn't been great since, and there's been some awkward tension in the locker room, some drama between he and coaches. Do you let these two make the decision for your future? Because that's where you're at right now. If I'm the Giants, I want to trade out of that spot with that in mind. But it also lends itself to the idea that maybe the Giants should have just canned the two of them and gone in a completely different direction this offseason instead of keeping these guys around. Because this is a very dicey place to be in if you're going to draft a quarterback and there's no consensus opinion on who the second best quarterback in the draft is.
Yes, that is true. I also think you touched on it there. It's like, if you're scared of letting these guys make a decision, then they probably shouldn't have a job. You probably should have just fired them. If you're like, well, it's going to be weird because if we let them draft their guy, Jackson Dart, and then we fire him after this year, now we're stuck with Dart. It's like, well, then probably should have already fired him. If you're planning on, if you're building in, what if we have to fire him in 12 months? I don't trust that they actually know who the best quarterback. Well, then you should have fired him. I don't know what to really make of this. Like, I hope they're not thinking of Dart at 3. I would say that you could probably do a little bit better than that if I'm with the Giants. But I don't know. All I know is that both these teams, the Browns and the Giants, like, they're here for a reason. They absolutely earned these drafts. These draft picks at the top of the draft, because these are two just absolute clown shows of franchise.
100%. Continuing to go across the National Football League, Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown's car got stolen in Philadelphia. I wonder what kind of car it was. He ain't happy about it, and he posted this video with the hope that whoever stole it is just going to return it to him.
One sec.
All good. Trust me, it's good.
Yeah, he's
threatening.
He is.
It's a nice message, but then it turns menacing.
That if you were to steal a car, you'd want it to be AJ Brown? Of NFL receivers, I feel like he'd be like,
DK Metcalf is the only one who would scare me a little bit more.
Pickens?
Yeah. Yeah, George Pickens. But George Pickens, I feel like George Pickens isn't that big. Like, DK Metcalf likes bullying people and is built like a superhero. And A.J. Brown, also a huge guy.
here he is, talking about his car game story.
Come on, Philly. Come on, man. You stole my whip last night. Come on, man. I make a deal with you, bro. To whoever you are, which I'm going to find out soon. I make a deal with you, bro. Just bring the whip back, bro. I won't press charges, bro. Just bring the whip back, bro. And you can go on about your day. But if I find you, come on, bro. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. And I'm gonna come in the interrogation room. I might see about you, my boy. Like, I'm on that. But just bring the whip back, bro. You smooth with it though. You pulled up at 3:42. You got up out of there at 3:45. You fast on your feet. Real fast. I'm gonna show you how fast I am on my feet. Yeah. Real talk. Like, this finna get done today. Like, bro, so you might well pull back up, bro. Drop that out, bro. We know where you at right now. Right now. Like, pull back up, bro.
So we know where you're at right now. He seems to be implying, I might come to your house. I might do a little interrogation with you as well. Batman style. And what did he say right after the interrogation? I honestly couldn't understand that.
Oh, yeah.
I needed a subtitle for it. It sounded like some specific form of interrogation that perhaps is from a different country. I don't know.
He definitely slipped into a little bit of Liam Neeson Taken there, where it's like, hey, if you bring it back, we can all put this by. That's almost exactly right. What Liam Neeson says. Like, yeah. If you bring my daughter back, I'll let you go. But if you don't, I'll find you. And I'll kill you.
I have a very particular set of skills.
Yes. And that's essentially what AJ Brown is putting out there.
Yeah.
I don't think you return the car. I'll be honest. I don't think he'll be cool about it.
I also don't think he would be cool about it. Personally. That's just me.
I think he's saying he would be cool about it. I don't know if he would.
That video a little more scary than what he wrote. Dear Philly, to whoever stole my car last night, I'll make a deal with you. Bring back my car and I won't press charges. Or when I find you today, it's going to be what it's going to be. Take it or leave it. Like, I kind of want him to find this guy and kick his ass. If you steal
AJ Brown suspended for 2 games, beating the brakes off of some guy.
Side commentary about the state of our country. It's kind of crazy that stealing things has become one of those things that now gets justified as, oh, well, he's doing it for their family. Where back in the day, you had your hand cut off. Like, not in the United States of America, but yeah. But literally you had your hand cut off, you know? Damn. Like, you were a thief for life. Like, those should be the stakes. I'm not saying you need to die, but if you steal something, there should be a reminder to you and to everyone else that you stole. Because stealing's wrong. It's wrong.
Why Aladdin is responsible for the downfall of American civilization.
I mean, truly, like, he got away with it.
It made it too sympathetic. It made thieves too sympathetic.
Right, and it was because he was hot, and, you know, and Jasmine and wanted to shaboink him.
Cool monkey.
Right, he did have a cool monkey. Abu, you know, his only friend, which goes to show you probably
that's a red
smells.
Flag. Yeah. That's a red flag if I'm Princess Jasmine.
Well, for sure. Aladdin, let's be honest, he smelled like ass. You know,
there's no way he smelled good.
He's probably like scratching his butt the whole time he was hanging out with Jasmine. Just a disgusting street rat. Sorry to be a snob.
No, that's what they call him. They call him a street rat a lot.
Right. So, I don't know. Like, now you can get away with stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise at stores in certain parts of the country, and there's no prosecution that happens at all. Like, imagine if you're a store owner. That sucks. You're just, it's corporate owned. Well, yeah, not for the people that run the store, you know? Like, the corporation doesn't care about it, but the people that run the store, it sucks. Imagine I have to file paperwork all the time. Yeah, I got stolen from again. Anyway, sorry. Side tangent done. AJ Brown, I hope you find that guy and you beat his ass. Aaron Jones was at a press conference, and old Aaron Jones, who says interesting things from time to time, Vikings running back, had this to say when he was asked about his age.
After playing every game and setting career high in touches.
I feel the best I've ever felt. I feel like I'm back to 24, 25 years old. Whoever came up with age, I feel like that's It's just a number. It's just a number. I've been saying that since I was a little kid trying to get older women. Age is just a number. But no, it really is. It's if you stay young here, you continue to work every day. Is that's really what it is.
Aaron Jones likes the Cougars. That's so funny. Age is just a number. So this is something he was saying, what, in his early 20s or something like that?
The head of him, yeah.
Aaron Jones' age, how old is he? He's 30, by the way, too, also. Like, F off. Oh, you're old now. Fuck. I can't say that.
He's an old running
back. Almost did. No. I have a friend of mine who keeps on texting me. This person just turned 30, and she keeps on texting me about how I'm a baby boomer. And I'm like, you just turned 30, bitch. Can we stop? Can we stop with this? Stop rubbing it in. So here's Aaron Jones. Oh, yeah, I used to pursue older women. So I guess in his mid-20s, he was going after 28, 29-year-olds. More refined women who know what they want. But guess what? More refined women who know what they want. They want older guys. It's generally how it works. I've been told. I wouldn't know.
You're not yet, because you're not old.
Thank you.
You're not the older guy.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
I mean, to Aaron Jones, you are, but...
For sure, I am the older guy to Aaron Jones. And the less successful guy. Because he's an NFL running back. Who's still in the game. I do enjoy Aaron Jones. That's a very funny just aside. Like, age is just a number. I used to tell older women that I used to be chasing that all the time. It's like, oh!
I did like the quick...
Flex?
The like, you know, first off, hats off to the guy who came up with age is just a number. Whew.
Yeah.
Been using that for years.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm still a good running back.
Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 97.5. I'm seeing CJ Gardner-Johnson's press conference. He seems to have Cam Newton's hat game. It's just an outrageously large hat.
I can't wait to see it.
I'm sending it to you right now. Apparently, he has come here, and he is not only taking names, he's taking numbers. So to hear that on the other side, and we're continuing to figure out who the Houston Texans should draft entirely based off of unintentionally erotic language by Lance Erline on NFL.com, actually written by him. It's not us. It's him. Stick around the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Very aggressive text from the 832. Age ain't nothing but a number is a song by Aaliyah. You uncultured colonizer. LOL. Aaliyah invented age is nothing but a number. Okay. We learn something new every day. Also, colonizer, sir, colonizers forced my people out of Ireland, okay? And into indentured servitude, which, yes, not as bad as that one thing. But, you know, Irish people been through it. That's why we drink. That's why we drink. CJ Gardner-Johnson, newest Houston Texan, someone that we've talked about on this show in the past before he joined the Texans for talking trash at Travis Kelce. He's team Kayla Nicole, a random ex of Travis Kelce from 3 years ago who has somehow, some way given me my most viral posts online. Here is CJ Gardner-Johnson talking about number 8, which John Metchie, sucks to be you. You are no longer number 8.
First of all, people don't call me CJ. Nah, I don't allow that. It's either CD or 8, which Metch, you got to get that up. I'm sorry, Metch. I'm sorry. I love you to death, bro, but God.
And he just goes off on a tangent while wearing an elaborate hat. Seems like CJ Gardner-Johnson's going to be fun. I like this.
Yeah, definitely going to be a favorite for the sound bites. I can already tell. once yes. we have training camp and
which is good
regular availabilities. Yeah,
because yeah, D'Amico Ryan's nothing, and Nick Caserio, a lot of words to give you nothing. So yeah. Will Anderson, he delivers from time to time.
CJ Stroud.
Stroud takes a while to get to the point, but I think Stroud has interesting things to say. Right, yeah. I think he answers questions. He almost answers it too well, yeah. but he does answer them. And then after that, Joe Mixon, he'll give you a lot.
Yeah, Mixon.
As far as Texans, I actually sit up and listen when I hear them talking.
That's about it.
Tim Settle as well. Oh, yeah. Tim Settle's probably number one.
He's still on
but
the
CJ Gardner-Johnson is challenging for him. Yeah, you don't really hear much of Tim Settle anymore because of the comments he made before the Chiefs game that didn't age particularly well.
No,
so there you
sure
go.
Sure didn't.
Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are closer and closer to the NFL draft. Guys, guess what? It's on Thursday. And what we have been doing since we realized that all pre-draft conversation is based off of speculation that we never go back to. We just move on after speculating who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. Realizing this, what's the point of even scouting anyone going into the NFL draft if you're not an expert? Even if you are an expert, no offense to the experts out there. So what we do is we go to NFL.com. We look at positional groups that the Texans could be looking at come draft on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and entirely using draft profiles written by Lance Zierlein on NFL.com, loaded with accidentally sexual lingo, we determine who we like and who we don't like for the Texans in the draft. Today we're doing running backs. Hit it!
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hip.
Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Running back time. Let's start off with the number one, Ashton Jeanty, who's supposed to be a top 15 pick from Boise State. Punches way above his weight class. Doles out punishment. Oh, Mr. 50 Shades of Grey over here. Hits sudden lateral cuts to elude early penetration from the defense. Powerful lower half. Climbs on top of blockers. Below average feel for spacing. We got to put Jeanty on the board. If Jeanty falls to the back of the first round, I'm thinking about it.
They definitely should.
Right. I mean, yeah,
just
you got
do
Joe
it and
Mixon.
Figure it out later.
You got Joe Mixon, but okay. What if you become Smash Mouth power team, you know? Prospect two, Trevion Henderson, a running back from Ohio State. Average size, but above average juice.
Okay.
Slides from gap to gap with twitchy lateral movements. Slightly undersized to take on a heavier workload. I'm in on him, too.
Yeah, I'm in on Henderson.
Omarion Hampton, North Carolina. Going to raise up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your head like a helicopter. North Carolina, going to raise up. This one's for you. This one's for who? Us. On Marion Hampton is a high-volume battering ram who can handle a heavy workload. Battering ram handles a workload, damn. Big back, impressive chiseled physique, adequate burst, but he requires gang tackling and bangs into blockers. Damn, I like all the running backs thus far. He's on the board, too. Dylan Sampson, Tennessee. Impressive feel for timing and spacing. Plays with the instincts of a seasoned veteran. Instinctive inside runner. Oh. Below average size for workload asked of him. All right, this is the first one that I'm not really
crazy about.
Number five, Quinshon Judkins. That's a funny name. More collision-based than wiggle-oriented. Oh, he's a smasher.
Than wiggle-oriented.
Yeah.
presses the run deep into the line. Has the dog in him for tough take-ons. Yeah, Quinshon Jenkins on the board,
sounds
too.
Sounds like a Texan.
Again, we're reading what Lance Zierlein has actually written about these prospects on NFL.com, a family-friendly website, we thought. Mm-hmm. Brayshaw Tootin.
What?
From Virginia Tech. Did I say it wrong?
No, and it's a funny name.
Brayshaw. Yeah, B-R-A-Y-Y-S-H-U-L. I think I spelled that right.
And then Tootin.
Yeah. Good plant and cut wiggle. Ooh. Powerful hip tear. Oh, wow. That doesn't sound great. Lacks decisiveness and feel for lane development. Would like to see him process and burst more quickly. Well, normally you like that later, but what do you think on this?
I don't like it. I'm not crazy about it.
All right.
The lack of decisiveness and finding the lane.
Yeah, it's like tough. It's tough. You got to find the right lane.
I get it. He's a rookie, but still.
You find the wrong lane, you might be in trouble.
Probably will be.
Get yelled at by someone. Coaches. Caleb Johnson, Iowa. Built like a bruiser, but his style is more finesse. Ew. Handled heavier workload and produced. Oh, so he's been run through a little? The line of scrimmage a variety of times, you know, 200, 300 times a year? Yeah. Below average contact aggression for his size. Nah.
Yeah.
Not physical enough. Prospect 9, Ja'Cory Crocky Merritt, Arizona. Outstanding stop, cut, and accelerate mechanism to elude in tight spaces. Delivers force into contact without losing base balance. Highly competitive finishes squeeze.
I'd be pretty good, but we have, like, what, four really good ones already?
We got four right now, but there was only one more after this. I almost feel like taking him entirely because of his name, because I thought he was fun in the college football playoff.
That is a fun name.
Okay, so there's Ja'Cory Merritt, Arizona. Ja'Cory Crocky Merritt from Arizona. And last up, Cam Scatamo.
Yeah.
Arizona State. Built low to the ground with a compact, muscular frame. Short King, shout out. Burst into his top speed fairly quickly. Ooh. Makes them feel his force. Cam Scatamo's on the list.
Yeah.
We're picking Cam. Sure. Arizona State over Arizona.
Imagine how great a Scatamo Texans jersey would go.
Oh, my God, yeah. And this guy went to Arizona State.
Yeah. Listen,
Arizona State, you gotta be experienced to make it through there. So there you go. Our draft board. For running backs. One more position group tomorrow. We're going to do linebackers to wrap up our unintentionally erotic Lance Zierlein big board. Entirely based off of Lance Zierlein's unintentionally erotic writing. Really rolls off the tongue. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Hunter Brown. Diesel. He's the ace of the Astros. If you disagree, you're a heretic, and we will find you like we're A.J. Brown. Or you could come to the table and actually offer a take as to why he's not. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.